Hello and welcome to this week's Irish Wolves podcast. My name is Tony Lawler, and what a roll Wolves are on at the moment. We were over on Saturday to watch us get the better of Southampton, one of our bogey teams over the years, and all enjoyed in the comfort of WV1. So I have Paul Lindsay and Mick McQuillan again with me today, discussing the day and the weekend for Paul and Noel McKillen, all the shenanigans and everything we got up to over in Wolverhampton. I hope you enjoy it.
Can you hear me, Tony?
Mr. McQuillan, he certainly can. How are you?
Not too bad.
Paul, how are you?
Good.
I was in touch with your friend Paul from the weekend, Mr. McQuillan, there today about tickets and all that, you know. So he gave me an estimate. After, I think you had a discussion about Friday night and Saturday night and a post-mortem. It sounded like it could have been with the amount of points he estimated that you had. I think you went through it on Sunday and decided, so we'll leave it at that, I think.
we'll not do that.
They might
close the hospitality,
they
might have drank
it, put it away. Yeah, Wolves are struggling. They probably have to sell Traore now to pay for the drink we had on Saturday.
You think you get that for them, will
it? But I tell you, yeah, I suppose, what would you say? We had more shots than he ever fucking did anyway.
No, it was great day, boys.
Yeah. But yeah, Paul, just think you went over on Friday afternoon, was it?
Yeah, we flew over on Friday afternoon and had a very sociable flight, plane, and evening in Wolverhampton, let us say. I bumped into the players in the hotel, got a photograph with Bruno, who was very pleasant, I must say. Hadn't stayed over for a while, so it was nice. Yeah, it was a nice, pleasant experience to not have a clear head on Saturday morning.
No, I did notice that when I met up with you. All right, where did you go to? Did you stay in the hotel on Friday evening, or did you wander around?
We went. We left actually to go and get water for the room. Best intentions, and ended up the magnet called McGee's address in, but it was closed. So we ended up having a couple of pints and a couple of other pubs close to there, and then just headed back to the hotel, to be fair. And something reminisced, listening to a bit of David Bowie and had a few beers back at the hotel in the room.
Oh, yeah. I'd say it was life on Mars, aren't we?
Well, it definitely was. But, yeah, it was nice. It was nice. It was nice not to have that 4 a.m. start for the early flight. Actually,
yeah.
Could lie on a little bit Saturday morning, but
yeah.
Couldn't do it all the time.
Yeah, I was on that dreaded quarter past six Aer Lingus flight, and Jesus, it was like traveling last year. There was nobody, very few people in the airport. Got through. I was just saying on Saturday, I got off the bus at 5 o'clock, and it was through security 8 minutes later in Terminal 2. I'd say there was about 50 people on the flight. Arrived nice and early. It was nice to have plenty of time for a change, because a lot of the trips we've had since the season started, we've been running around chasing our tails, hoping trains are running and all this. So it was actually a nice, pleasant change for everything to run nice and smoothly. And they always do when you have loads of time anyway. Mick, you were on the, what, the 8:30, 25 to 9 flight. Did that go okay?
Yeah. I busted up from Cavan to bus up Virginia. It's only an hour straight up. The first stop is the airport, is grand, it's only an hour non-stop on the motorway. So I knew I'd be having a few jars later on, so I didn't know what way to be driving my tail. So that was it. So I was in the airport, same as yourself, Tony. I got there at about 10 past, quarter past six. I was plenty of time. We got through security very quickly, and I don't know why, but the actual gate was already shown at that point for the 8:30, 25 to 9 flight. So I had a cross over to where you usually go. Had a cup of coffee, but I had an interesting. I said, obviously, you go to these matches, you can be 7-year-old, but you always need someone. So this fella came over to me, Bulls fella. He was going in to get a cup of coffee. He said he'd be out to me. He happened to be a Cameroon fella, worked in the university for a couple of years, and over here and worked for Google. He was telling me, and he had an interview for a big job with Down a Minute. To look after the foreign students coming in. So it was a great conversation about football and other things, you know, generally. It was a nice lad and that. So there was no problem in getting the, the flights or the trains worked well, and I got up fairly quickly. And then I went into that place, the Hungry Horse, or it's called the Sunbeam.
Sunbeam.
And I had it was a nice breakfast there, but unusually for me, I had with me breakfast, I had a pint. It was a lovely pint of Peroni, so it was a nice way to start the day.
That's what happens when you've no wheels when you go back, you know. You can enjoy yourself. I had bread loads as well, breakfast and all. I called down to Noel. Paul was still upstairs, whatever. But Noel was in the Novotel when I arrived, so had a cup of tea or whatever with him. I went up to the room then, and we were having it with Paul. We were having a chat for a while there. We headed off to the shop then around 11:30. Did a bit of buying. WV1 then, compliments of Paul at 12:30 to watch the City game. Although we didn't watch much of it, I don't think, did we?
I hit the leap of wolf. That's what I was. I actually went into the club shop looking for the sticker, car sticker.
Oh, yeah.
And I couldn't believe I was got out of that. They don't do car stickers. So I couldn't fucking believe it. So I adjourned to the leap of wolf, and I had a couple of double brandies just to wet the whistle for the day, you know. So that was met up with you, boy.
Yeah.
Was that one of the ones you dropped?
I was going to mention that one, yeah.
I only dropped two on Saturday.
That's it. That shows you what level of income you have when you can afford to drop double brandies, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, a 4 quid for a double brandy, it is acceptable when you're not paying 80 or 100 quid for a hotel room, you know?
Some of us paupers would be licking it off the floor if we dropped it, like, you know? You could just go and get another one, you know? Yeah, Paul, as I say, thanks to you, we were in WV1, and it's the second time I've been there anyway. Have to say, it's a fantastic facility, like having to relax before the game, being able to watch all the fans arriving, the players warming up, and just sitting there having a great chat. It's all relaxed, you know, meeting. And I met one of our Irish Wolves Facebook group people, Yvonne Mason. You met her, Mick, and then I came out and we were chatting to her for a minute. So it was great. It certainly adds to the day. It's a much more relaxed feeling being there than, let's say, even in your in Steeple Upper. Very relaxed. But I suppose getting on to the game itself then, as I was saying, they had a 100% record of the West Ham game. It was in WV1 and we won, so it was optimistic on that score. But just with the lineup, I think the phone started buzzing, and the fact that Neves wasn't in the team, there was rumours starting straight away that he's off.
And with the inclusion of Totti Gomez as well.
How do you think that was going to affect the team?
And
the
I think from what we saw the previous week against Sheffield United, we all believed that it was either going to be one of two players at the back, Marshall, who didn't play, and then Donker, who ended up playing in the middle of the park. Now,
yeah,
a little bit of research on the lad Gomez, Totti Gomez, the last couple of weeks, and watched a few videos on YouTube. And as I said to Mick on the day, and we discussed on the day, you know, a lot of pace, a lot of physicality. So he's obviously shown a lot of promise in the last couple of weeks of training. Yeah. For the manager to bring him in, obviously forced to make a change, but we all would have maybe thought that Deion Sanderson might have got a nod, but what we saw over the 90 minutes during his debut made us all realise why the manager showed faith in him. The kid was, he made half a mistake the whole game. He was superb.
Yeah. I thought he probably actually early on he was a bit too enthusiastic. He was kind of going for every ball and he wanted to be involved in everything, but he certainly fit into the system well anyway. Yeah, Mick, what were your thoughts on Neves being out and Gomez being thrown in?
Well, as we found out, Neves was out with COVID.
Yeah.
And that was it. But, you know, we did look a bit more ropey defensively on Saturday than we did the previous games. But I think that was down with Neves being missing, because everybody picks Neves out, gives him the ball, and he's the fella who sort of minds the ball. But I must say, I thought it was a very, very good game to watch. I thought, Paul says there, Gomez was fantastic, you know. And it just shows, you know, to me, how the manager is maturing, because I did slate him for one or two. He cost us a couple of points in one or two games early in the season. But I was listening to his interview, and he's learned a fair little lesson. Like he said, the simplest thing after watching your man, he only seen him for the last 2 weeks, he said, and it was a case of just putting him in, you know, you don't move everybody else around, you know, and he certainly was in there, and people were saying, why is he bringing him in? Well, My thing on it, I didn't know much about Gomez myself, but my thinking about it was that before the match, that if Bruno brought him in, and I would say that Bruno wouldn't be a conservative manager, but if he was to throw someone in like that, he obviously had a lot of trust in him, a lot of faith in him.
Yeah.
And he said he was rewarded, you know, because the chap had a fantastic game, I thought, for his first game. I thought he was excellent, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And the other thing to talk afterwards with that, he had thought about moving Kilman over probably and putting Dendoncker in, as he, like we did again the Sheffield United game. I actually thought the start, the first 15 minutes, was very like the Sheffield United game. I'm just wondering, is it the case that teams are coming to Molineux now, and because we're not conceding goals and we're so solid at the back, that teams are deciding to come to Molineux now and have a goal for the first 10 or 15 minutes and try and get a goal, you know?
The mistake I think they made on Saturday, they knew your man was a new fella in and they targeted him, and he was the wrong fella to go for.
Yeah.
That fella could run all day.
But I suppose the one thing was that, like, with the penalty, was a strange one. As far as everybody in the ground seemed to think it was a penalty, except the referee, you know. So
yeah.
Did you assume you thought it was a penalty? Yeah.
Yeah, it was a bit of a strain. I mean, a lot of the penalties in the last sort of 5 or 6 years. Certain ones are dubious. I mean, when you watch it, I watched it back a few times. I think it was a penalty, but I also wouldn't have been surprised if he hadn't given it.
Yeah.
Because it nearly was coming onto the ball as opposed to having the ball at his feet.
Yeah.
And as much as he was blocked. You know, his passage of play was blocked without actually being tackled with the ball. And sometimes they don't give those. So,
yeah.
You know, the first 15 minutes he gave us nothing, and then after that he nearly gave us everything.
Yeah, yeah. I think too, it probably unsettled the ref more than anything else, because I think he had a very tough game, you know, and it's very hard to, you know, having not given the penalty, for him to be told to go and have a look, and he has a look and then gives it. Like, I think he blew the whistle and pointed, and he blew the whistle again. He was just, when I watched it and tell you, it just looked like he was struggling to keep hold of the game at that stage, you know. But
He was giving us nothing.
He seemed to, I
don't know whether he ever really refereed a game before. I've never seen him. But I thought what he was trying to do was not to be a home referee.
Yeah.
And he was giving us nothing. But it definitely was a penalty, because if you look at it, the giveaway to me was the ball never moved.
Yeah.
You know, so the defender didn't get to the ball first. And he cleaned out what I seen. He cleaned out nearly out of it. And I suppose the biggest problem for us, it was the fourth penalty in 11 months. So, it was unusual,
You wouldn't think it for the way Raul took it anyway. But it's funny, but when Paul was saying about penalties as well, like, I was watching the Chelsea game last night, and there was a tackle by Alonso where he cleared the ball and he was into the forward afterwards, and they were discussing whether it was a penalty or not. And then to think that tackle on Aitnuri might not have been a penalty, like, it really makes you wonder what the hell is going on and what does qualify now for. I mean, there's the merest touch on a player now and he got down.
Yeah. I mean, even the wonder tackle that Kilman made during the game, made it off his feet.
Yeah.
Other referees would have given him a foul for that, you know. But it was shown on TV as this fantastic. Well, it was a fantastic tackle. But how many times have we seen a defender tackle off his feet without a stud showing, but off his feet and get penalised for it? So there's no consistency.
What it reminded me of, we were at the game 2 years ago now, whatever. But and against the same team, Southampton, where Johnny was cleaned out of by two players. And again, I think it was a new referee, and he didn't give the penalty. He gave a corner, same as last Saturday. And VAR looked at it, and we ended up, and we were kind of saying, Jesus, Johnny was lifted out of it. No, and they never touched up, and we got the penalty there, you know. So it does, I wonder, is it kind of new referees being a bit nervous to give penalties so early on, you know, on the game? I don't know. It seemed very strange. Because, I mean, the ball from Pedence into Raul, he was clattered. Like, he was ball and man and everything. And then Aitnuri comes in, he gets lifted out of it. The ball came to Pedence even, and Pedence was clattered in as well. Like, in the space of 5 seconds, there was 3 tackles that VAR probably should have been looking at, you know. But at least we got the penalty over.
But on the penalty, the discussion on the penalty overlooked a fantastic bit of football that led up to it.
Yeah.
You know, twice what they call it, Triangle nutmeg the opposition. Yeah. He was really involved in that move. It was a great move.
But he actually
where it started, away. You know.
He gave it away and got it back straight away.
Yeah.
And then gave it to Pudence. Pudence ran, knocked it into Raul. Raul kind of, he was caught by surprise because he took a touch and the touch wasn't great. He got the shot, was blocked, you know, and then, yeah, but it was, we're playing some great football. I think Pudence is nearly at the middle of most of our attacking play at the moment. I suppose we were doing all right first half. Second half, then Cody's goal. You know, he very rarely scores and he never seems to score kind of clean ones, but, you know, but that kind of put us on it lifted the whole stadium, I think, and it put us on really on the front foot then, you know?
Yeah, I think when you look back at it, I think the only player that didn't embrace him quickly was Kilman, because he thought it was his goal,
yeah.
You know, but and Raul nearly cleaned him out trying to get to it. Yeah. But great to see Cody getting the goal. I mean, he's transformed this year, and that transformation is partly because, I mean, we've all discussed this before, Jose Sa coming into the team, the confidence he instills in the back three,
yeah.
The communication between them all when you watch them off the ball is absolutely fabulous. So great to see him scoring, and the, you know, he gets a massive din in the crowd. You know, he's so popular now. 6 months ago, people were calling for his head. It just shows you how fickle the sport is.
All right, give it another couple of weeks.
No, look, I was saying now, since early in the season there, the back three, Saez and Kilman and Cody, there's not a better back three in the English League, Premier League. And I said that months ago, and I firmly believe it. But, you know, when you look at it, even the goal, Cody's goal, they were, look, I know Saez is away, but Kilman was involved, so was Cody. Not only are they defending, but they're the main men up there when it comes for corners now, you know, and it's great to see. But I looking around that team at the moment, you know, you look everywhere, even Tomato and they're all playing top of the game. Yeah. The only issue you have with Pudence is at times he gets us in all sorts of trouble with silly passes.
Yeah,
with once or twice, like some fantastic passes, and then all of a sudden he gave a ball away there when we were on the attack. There was no need to do what he's doing, and next thing you have lads forcing their gut to get back to try and defend it. It's the only, if he gets that right, he's a superb player. He is a fantastic player.
No. I think, I kind of give him a bit of leeway because he just, to me, you know, he tries things that other players don't try. And, you know, the pass isn't always going to work out, or somebody's not, you know, like last week where he played the ball for Traore and we were saying, you know, kind of, he was looking around, Jesus, was that ball for me? You know, but I give Pudence a bit of leeway because, you know, he is trying different things, and it's working for us now, and it did in patches in last year when he was getting games. But now I'll give him a bit of leeway on that. But
I totally agree with you there. But if he can get that part of his game tidied up, you know, he'd be an absolutely fantastic player. But there was an incident in the match too, when they started to cover us. Like, he went back and he was at our end line, and it was a beautiful. He just bent the ball around the attacker.
Yeah.
As if nothing was on. And everybody was like, holy James, what's he up there? But it was a fantastic, cool pass to play. And he's as cool as a cucumber, he is, you know?
Yeah. But just, I suppose, their goal, since that was the first one we've conceded since Man City, a lot of people seem to be critical of Sa. Paul, what did you think of it? From where we were, I think.
To be fair, I think at the time watching it live in the stadium, it looked like Sa was initially unsighted and wrong-footed. But when you see it back on television, good God, what a goal! You know, it started off like a bullet, and when it started to dip, it took an immediate swerve.
Yeah.
Sa maybe didn't expect it to bend in the last, you know, 5-6 yards.
Yeah.
And I can only give that lad Ward Prowse every accolade for what an amazing goal.
Yeah.
34 yards out, and we were lucky enough to sit behind the goal. We can talk about it because we won the match.
Yeah.
Had it cost us points, we wouldn't have been so happy. But, you know, he doesn't do a lot more in the game. You know, this is the problem with him. Yeah. He's nearly got like American football where they bring him on for the free kicks to take him off again. Talk about him wanting to play for England, he needs to add a little bit more to his all round game.
Oh yeah.
But what a free kick taker.
Yeah, yeah.
He struck it well, but at the time I seen that the Southampton fellas putting the hands, waving the hands in front of it. My first impression was that Salah should have been done better. But if that wasn't what happened, when I looked at it again, the problem was the two boys in the wall, it the wrong way round.
Yeah.
What do you call it? Mancini was in the wrong side of the ball. He should have had the, what do you call it? I think it was Kinman. The other side. If Kinman had him in the other side, that ball was never gone in because it just went over Mancini's head.
Yeah.
Now, if Kinman was standing there on that line, like when I seen the way the wall was set up, I said, that was silly. He always put the big fella. That's what happened to the keeper. The keeper had moved that extra feet, and the lads were messing about with the wall.
Yeah.
He struck it because if Kilman was standing there, Kilman had got the head to it. But he did strike it, and there was fantastic power in it.
Yeah.
And that's what the wrong foot of the keeper. But after saying that, look, it woke us up anyway. So we went down and great football. You know?
But even at that, though, I mean, within the next couple of minutes, they hit the post, and we were a little bit shaky. Actually, I think around that, was it then Donker went to clear the ball and the Southampton player got the foot in ahead of him? that could have been disastrous as well.
I think it was the closest he got to Romeo all day. and he kicked him. The lad Gomez saved a Che Adams goal. I mean, we were at sixes and sevens at that point.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. I'd written down here actually Romeo. I mean, he was sort of a standout player for them in the first half because the knocker didn't get tight enough to him.
Yeah.
Second half, you know, Mick was shouting across to me, "How's your man doing now?" And he did have a better second half because the manager's obviously said to him, "Tackle him." He's not running away from him. And Romeo was quieter then in the second half. And I think that's when we really started to come into our own.
Yeah.
I thought the Nonga had a pretty good game overall. I wouldn't agree with you there, Paul, on that one. Because the second half, he was the fella for the third goal. He was cool as Pasano with that pass he picked out, when all panic was there. He was cool, he could have banged it, but he put a fantastic ball out to Oitnuri.
For the third goal,
that set us on the run. But he had a couple of very, very good interventions before that. Now, Southampton, the thing with Southampton, the Amar Romero and they are a physical type side.
Yeah.
And they have a goal with you. And I'd say that was probably what was in the manager's mind about when his team selection, that he didn't want to take a bit of physicality out of the middle. He needed something in there, and that's why he put the young fella in there.
Yeah.
But I thought it was overall a good performance. I certainly would say, yes, we did look a bit vulnerable at times, but I think that was more down to the fact of not having Nevis in the middle.
Yeah, no, the lad did, credit where credit's due, he had a fair enough second half, but the first half, he did as usual, Mickey. He was shadow chasing and Romeo needed somebody to show a little bit of skin.
Yeah, I think he does an awful lot. And he seems to be unsure of what his position or role is in the team sometimes. He kind of seems to be doing a lot of running around, covering everything.
His role basically is to try and mark the space. And if teams were shifting now, in fairness to Southampton, they had a goal. They tried to use 15, 20 minutes to get the early goal.
Yeah.
And that's what they were at. And we were hanging on at that. But we were hanging on quite well. They had about 7 or 8 corners to our one. But I don't think they won one of them.
We've been very good defending set pieces and scoring from them as well this season. So we were all happy anyway with the win. We of course had to rush home, Mick, get the train and the flight home. Some other lads had a ample opportunity to avail of the festivities afterwards. Did it nice night, Paul?
Touchscreen is supplied us. I think it's worn out.
Well, certain buttons. Guinness has probably gone off.
I thought it was really very funny that showing four Irish fellas. That you give an Irish fella a gadget to hard a drink on, and they show us how to walk it. That's a no-no. The Irish man is there. If the free drink at the end of it, the Irish man will find out how it works.
Yeah, you may have.
I think at the end, Nolan had somebody full time on the Guinness tab just to serve us.
Oh, yeah.
I tell you, Paul, it nearly killed me that running back, trying to get back up to get that train. And we just made it, just barely made it.
Yeah, only a couple of minutes to spare, yeah.
And we just as well we made it, Tom, because there was a bit of a hold up at the security.
Yeah, it was slow enough in the airport, yeah. But so you were back Sunday then, Paul, yeah? You got everything worked out okay?
Back on Sunday, we were last one. We turned the lights off in WV1 and headed to the McGee's, a couple of beers, and then for a Chinese, and then an early dark. So I think I stayed awake just long enough to see the road match and match of the day.
Yeah.
And we're on a 12 o'clock flight the next day. Oh, great. Noel's great company too, as you know. And
yeah.
And knows everybody, like you guys, everywhere you go, everybody knows him.
Yeah.
He's like a great loyalty on what happened. So, no, it's been a great weekend. And when you win, it's always a bonus, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
As you say, we're twice in WV1 and two wins. So, I'll have to see my contact and see if he can get me more tickets for him.
Definitely, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was going to say we'll keep it amongst ourselves. I think everybody knows about it at this stage.
Well, it'd be back to the old what to call it, industry, the owners for me, probably on Saturday anyway.
Oh, yeah, you're over in Brentford, Mick, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm going to call it the Noel McKillen Memorial Match, you know? Because because he's been trying desperately to get a ticket. I think he's going in corporate.
I think he's going to buy corporate tickets. As long as a podcast, you don't send his wife a link. Yeah, I think he's going to announce, oh, flip me, there's corporate tickets available.
Yeah.
The
family are over anyway, I think, are they?
Yeah.
He texted me last night there. He said, I think they'll be in Victoria around 12 o'clock, or half 12, you know?
Yeah.
And the meet up, so I meet up. I should be up there around 10:30 or so anyway.
Anyway, we'll leave it at that and enjoy yourself on
just a quick one for you. Oh, you got a minute there?
Yeah, go on.
What do you
think of Luke? I had him down to talk about. Yeah, but sure. Okay, we'll squeeze him in. Another challenge for you, Mick. What's it? Chiquinho, is it?
Chiquinho.
He sounds like, I put up a last night on Facebook, he looks like an enthusiastic lad anyway.
Plenty of pace, and he looks fairly good on the ball. And again, look, I think it's a great signing because we've done so well with these types of players, you know, throwing them in cheap. I know lads are saying the start that we don't have this fella, we don't have that fella, but we have other fellas out there on loan, you know, and it's amazing. Give them a year or two and it's the improvement these lads make, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But this lad has been doing his improvement, I think, at Estoril and that, because I think one of his coaches said there he put on something like 8 kilos of muscle in the last year or so. Yeah. He's been working
he's
out.
He's a big lad. I looked at the stats. And also to slot in as well, I think we must give credit to Big Silva. Second week and running, he played out of his skin when he came on.
Yeah.
He created great opportunity for Traore, which he missed, and then he went on to score his goal. But he was a menace when he came on, and I think he's impressed. He's starting to impress everybody.
Yeah.
And I don't think it will be that long before he starts.
I think
all the players, it's amazing what a year does to these lads.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How it brings about. And it was great also with the match that he even gave the other young fella his first debut, the two young lads. And I know it was only 2 or 3 minutes, but that's enough to give them that little bit of gift to go again. And a few games like that for the rest of the season, bring lads in like that, give them the feel of it.
Yeah.
You know, to me, it's very important, man. And it all looks good at the moment. That's how it keeps going, you know.
I agree with that, yeah. Good stuff. Yeah, sure. Right. That's it. We'll talk to you next week, Ashley. So you're the only one over at Brentford, Mick. So we'll have a good chat with you next week about it. Hopefully another 3 points in the bag. All right. Cheers, guys. See you, Paul.
Cheers, guys.
See you, Mick. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.